Welcome to the Day Luna Human Design Podcast,
where we discuss all things human design and how it can support you and your spiritual journey.
This is not a one-size-fits-all podcast. We are here to inspire awareness about how we are all different and help you answer the questions of who am I? What am I here to do? How am I here to do it?
You can thrive and live the life of your dreams just by having awareness of your true self.
So dive deep with us, get inspired, and start living your life on purpose.
Hello, and welcome back to the Day Luna Human Design Podcast with your host, Dana and Shayna. It's been a minute since we've been on here, just us two, talking about some human design stuff, and we were really feeling the call to just do a super fun human design-y episode, something that can really support you, and you can have a quick takeaway that you can implement, because of course, that's our favorite way to use human design, is actually applying it to your life and practicing it and nourishing yourself in a real way and actually seeing the transformation that happens when we decide to take upon ourselves that self-love and really doing it in a way that honors our uniqueness. So in this episode today, we want to talk about tips to nourish yourself based on your type and based on your authority. But you know, first, we just want to catch up with you guys. It's been a long time since we've got to fill you in on how we're doing and how we're feeling. And, you know, we have been so busy, ever expanding as always, and we're so blessed to have that experience. But this last month where there was the eclipse season and then Mercury retrograde, like that shit hit me hard.
Same.
And it's crazy because when you have these moments that really feel like it brings challenges into your life, it's so important to come back to this like up-level feeling of really knowing that any challenges that are coming with your health or with things that are, you know, overwhelming, things like that, it's always a gift to help you evolve, to help you grow. And I finally feel like I'm kind of out on the other side now where I've learned the lessons and I've felt myself grow and evolve through it. So I'm super happy that that shit's over and that I'm here in this elevated level.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're getting there, but I definitely feel
still a little ways to go.
Yeah. Like not quite through the other elevated side, but I do think that, you know, this eclipse season retrograde was freaking rough for everyone collectively, like just heavy. And this feeling of like, sludging through the mud a little bit. And like, no matter how high you pick up your knees to like walk through this mud, it's like exhausting. And nothing in particular, like necessarily really happening to be like so crazy dramatic, but just that overall feeling of exhaustion, I think that we all felt collectively over the last few weeks. So I am grateful that Mercury's coming around the bend and we're in the shadow, but hopefully by the time this airs, we'll be out of the shadow. Because I'm just ready to breathe some fresh air. And I have so many things that are going on. We've been working on a giant project for the last 2 years, actually. And it happened in a way that was so perfectly aligned. We were invited to do it. It came out of the blue and it just was the easiest thing we've ever done, but also like one of the biggest things we've ever done. So we're excited to announce what that is in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for that. We're so excited. But also in my personal life, just been working on a lot of things as well. I ended up hiring Amanda, the feng shui expert who we had on a few episodes ago, and she flew out here to California from Texas, and she came out for a weekend and she walked through the house with us. We also ended up hiring a designer to like design our home because we're wanting to do some pretty big renovations, and it's been incredible. Like, I cannot explain it to you enough how just excited I am about working with feng shui and really understanding the energetics of my home. I feel like I put so much intention into understanding the energetics of my like body home. But now really understanding the energetics of like the land that I'm on and our property and our home and like each room and my desk and like really getting crystal clear on what those energies are and how to really work with them and optimize them has been such a fun and nourishing journey for me. And I think that when we invest in ourselves, you know, every time that I've ever invested in myself in a significant way, it has, the universe has met me 10 times, like tenfold. And so, yes, like it was a big investment to work with her and to work with a designer and to have her come out here and everything, but so incredibly worth it. And I just, so for anyone who's listening, I'm not trying to like sell you on feng shui, but I'm just trying to just leave you with that bit of expansion of like, maybe you're considering doing a move, or maybe you're considering making an investment in something. And there's so much mental chatter that goes on when we invest our resources into something. And I just want to encourage you to first use your authority, but when fear pops up, to just know, like, and you can probably look back at instances in your own life, like when you show up, the universe shows up 10 times more and does the heavy lifting for you. You just have to take that first step. So definitely not trying to push you off a cliff here, but that's always been my experience in life. So that's kind of how I'm nourishing myself right now, is feng shui, working on my home, and also being super gentle on myself because I've been an exhausted bitch lately.
Yeah, no, I, like, you guys, we are stuck on feng shui. Like, I can't stop thinking about it too, because once, to me, the craziest thing is like how everything in life is a metaphor. And we talk about all the time how everything is energy, how everything is connected, how I am, you know, you, I am everyone listening. I am the tree. Like, I am everything, right? So we talk about this connectedness, and we talk about this reflection, that life is this reflection. And feng shui has been something that's helped me reconnect with that on a deeper level, like starting to see how everything in my life is a reflection, how everything in my life is a metaphor, and putting that like extra intention into, changing, you know, doing what I can do to, on my energetic hygiene side or things like that. Like, you know, with feng shui, something that I learned is that if you had some weeds in your front yard, like especially right by your door, that those weeds are like taking from that prana or that chi that could be feeding your life. And so, you know, having my rituals where I go out and I like weed my garden, like it's so grounding, and you feel, instead of being like, oh, this is work and that's why I've been putting it off, instead you feel like this is an act of self-love. This is an act of me clearing my own mind. And like the metaphor of all of these different things comes together. So I have also been super into that and just loving up on my house and loving up on myself while I do it. And it's been feeling so nourishing and good, because the energy in an external way has felt a little bit overwhelming, that having these really grounding, solid, foundational things in my life that I'm doing for myself, it's just been like such a celebratory act for me. I'm literally enjoying the shit out of it, like living in my fascination zone for sure.
You just reminded me of like a revelation that I had during eclipse season. Somebody emailed us, Satya G emailed us a short story by Andy Weir called The Egg. And we've talked about on this podcast how everything's energy, we're all connected. Like Dana was just saying, like, I am you, you are me. Like we're all kind of from this same source energy, right? And we talk about in an episode, I think it's called Everything is Energy, like back in the beginning. If you haven't listened to that one, I really recommend you do, because we dive into it, how we're all like the same source energy and that we are God, right? And so in this short story, it's kind of touching on that, but it's basically like this guy dies and then he's like, he doesn't go to heaven, but he goes to like this in between space where he meets with this being that's like tells them, like, you know, you died and you're going to reincarnate and we're going to send you, you know, you're going to be a girl like living in like 500 AD or something. And he's like, oh, you're sending me back in time. And it's like, well, no, because everything's, you know, like time is relative and it's like all existing at the same time. And basically by the end of it, you discover that like you are every reincarnation of every single person that's existed. So like you're not going to like your partner that, you know, you left behind and your kids, like they're all you. And that like you were Hitler and you were also all the millions of people that he killed. And like, you also were Jesus and all of the people that got inspired by that person. You were Abraham Lincoln. You were also John Wilkes Booth. Like, you are all of the people who have ever existed, and that we're all here to basically learn and grow and develop to basically become a God. So like, you are God, and this whole universe is basically created as an egg for you to actually be born. So anyways, the story, that was like a really short and fast synopsis of the story. And I almost feel like we should put it in the show notes so you can actually read it through. Cause when you read it through, it's way more profound than my ass trying to explain it. But anyways, my point is that when I read that, it like clicked into a different gear for me of releasing judgment on other people and on even on myself, of really just releasing pressure of like everything needing to be so serious or comparing myself to other people, because it's like, well, that's me. Like, it's literally me. And so then I went into this meditation during this eclipse time, like connecting with the fact that everyone is me and everyone is everyone, and feeling like these threads, these strands connecting to each version of myself, and choosing to gain the wisdom from that person, like almost like a database, or like an interweb where, or even like mycelium, like in the earth, like that interweb that's all connected, feeling like, okay, well, I want to get the wisdom that, you know, Elon Musk has with, you know, building a business or like thinking outside the box. And so like, let me just connect to that and receive that energy. And like, I want to gain the wisdom that Oprah has with connecting and inspiring and healing millions and millions of people and being powerful and like being a powerful Black woman in a time where like that's not common at all. And like, I want to connect and just feel that energy from that, and knowing like they're all me. And so I have the connection to all of that wisdom. Yeah. And so just kind of sitting in that space of just connection, but also receiving and like non-judgment of like, damn, I'm fucking Oprah. Like, that's badass. And also like, let me, Shayna, right now in this incarnation, connect with whatever wisdom I want or choose or feel inspired to. So that's been my nourishing meditation lately, has been tapping into that frequency and like choosing whatever version of me I want to connect with. So
I love that.
So heady, but also like, you're me. So, you know,
I get it.
Yeah.
No, I love that so much. And I feel like I've had so many different ways that exact what you were talking about has come to me. Like, one way is I have a memory of a past life where I had this like spiritual mother that was teaching me and training me. And we were in Hawaii, and she was teaching me about shape-shifting. And so when you hear shape-shifting, you think that someone is like literally practicing this like magic where they turn into a bird. Like, literally they turn their human body into a bird. That's what it sounds like when you're reading it.
Or like, she was metamorphosis.
Right. Anamorphosis.
You know what I'm talking about. They're like a rat that turns into a human.
Right. Like physically, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But she was teaching me in this past life that it's like, no, instead what you're doing is finding that connection and through that like ether mycelium web, like you're talking about, and connecting to the place where you actually are the consciousness of that bird. And for a moment, you are experiencing life through that bird's consciousness because you are so deeply connected. So you're kind of like casting your consciousness to connect and become and see through the eyes and feel through the body of that bird so that you can learn what it knows, so that you can see the world through its perspective and learn from that and take all of that wisdom. So ever since I felt that and connected with that, like, it brings a whole new level to like animal medicine or animal totems, and like being able to learn the perspective and wisdom of that animal. You know, you're talking about being able to do that with that person. Like, how did that person's evolution and lessons and wisdom and strength, like how can I tap into that and receive that and learn from that? But you also can do that with animals in this exact same way. And I also think that a lot of the like goddesses that people pray to, it's like you're connecting to that frequency and then becoming that frequency or learning from that frequency. There's so many ways, like we're so expansive and we are literally everything. We are every animal, we are every archetype, we are every person. And all of that knowledge and wisdom is accessible within us because we are all the Jedi.
Yes. Oh my God. I literally like screamed in the movie theater when that happened.
Me too.
I was like, we are all the Jedi, bitch. I am Moana. But I really do. Like, I've been sitting outside. It's been so nourishing, like watching the birds around my yard and just looking at them thinking like, wow, like you are me.
Yeah.
And like just being the observer and witnessing me observe myself, like the birds observe me and me observe the birds. Right. And also feeling like what a beautiful reflection of me and like my existence. And I think that it's almost like this core of everything that is taught in like every single, you know, religion or spiritual practice or ritual or like all these different modalities that we've talked about even on our podcast here, of just like everything being so deeply connected. And that's why the teachings within human design are reflected in so many teachings, and vice versa. And it's because it literally is all the same frequency. And it's also why we say, like, you know, when you hurt the earth, you're damaging yourself. Like when you hurt an animal, you're hurting yourself. Like anything that is hurt, a hurting frequency, you're doing it to yourself. And, so I just like, I've been really contemplating all of that, and a big part of why we wanted to hire this designer and really do some work on our home is to make sure that our home is really feeding back to the earth, like putting in a system that is collecting all of our gray water and like using that to like nourish the earth that we're inhabiting right now in this incarnation. And then, you know, just being really more earth conscious, that it's all connected. So that's where I'm at right now. That's where we're at. Yeah. And I'm just, you know, existing. So that, yes, like while shit is been super like exhausting and heavier, it's also been, of course, really fascinating and enlightening and curious.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's interesting with the eclipses. Right before we went into the Joshua Tree Music Festival, which is a big event for our community here, I was like, why are we doing this during an eclipse? And the festival was literally during the full moon eclipse. And right as Mercury retrograde started, and I was like, we shouldn't be having this community festival where all these people are gathering and all these things are coming together, like in this difficult or challenging, you know, time. And I learned so much from just observing. Like there was this really amazing band that was playing and all of their sound went completely out. And like everything that everyone was doing just was not working. And I was like, why would they have this festival here at this time? Like they should have known better. Like, why aren't people utilizing astrology and like understanding the transits and like avoiding these challenging periods? And the band decided to like unplug and sit on the stage and gather in a circle. And the whole audience like gathered together, like campfire style. And the band played completely acoustic, and everyone sang together, like hundreds of people that were learning the song right in this moment and singing together. And they created something in that moment that was so much more magical than I'm sure what they had planned before, because it was so unique and creative. And like, because of the challenge, everyone stuck with it and stayed together and was like there for each other and continued to collaborate and figure it out and ended up creating something that was so much more special and beautiful. So I just want to say that I had this huge realization of like how much I personally avoid or want to avoid or try to avoid like things that are challenging or times that you're in an up level or like anytime something's challenging, there's that like voice in the back of your head, that inner critic that's like, what did I do to deserve this challenging thing? And instead, if we can see how life is constantly trying to gift us these challenging experiences or meaningful experiences so that we can have a up level in our consciousness. So we can have these moments where we have time to go internal, like these realizations that we're talking about on a deeper level. Like yeah. These things happen, these portals open, these opportunities happen to really go in and to take things to that next level inside your internal journey and then bring that out into the world when these yeah. eclipses happen. So I've just been feeling like bringing that lesson with me, like so grateful for these times where things are feeling off or things are feeling hard or planets in retrograde. It's such an opportunity to go there and to allow yourself to continue to be creative, continue to be collaborative, continue to feel what life is bringing you, and to have these moments of internal depth and really having these conversations yeah. of like seeing life in these deeper ways. And that happens because of these opportunities of challenge.
And it's interesting, like something that I've been really contemplating lately is how things aren't black and white, right? Things aren't yeah. good and bad. And that's taught a lot in human design, right? Mm-hmm. Where like we label difficult emotions as bad or anger as bad and happiness and ecstasy as good. And really, they're not better or worse. And, you know, things aren't this black and white nature. And even in this example of being in Joshua Tree, like, you know, so many people got COVID from that too. It's like, you know, you're in this space where things are shut down and then everybody's huddled together. And like, it was a magical, amazing, so much better than it could have been experience. And people got COVID. And somebody just, you know, observing from the outside could be like, labeling that as bad. Like, oh, you gathered together, you were all huddled up, like you got COVID. That's what you get for having this whatever. And that is once again labeling black and white. Like, does the fact that maybe someone got COVID or people got COVID detract from the magic and the ecstasy and the beautiful, connective, creative lessons experience that people had at that time? And there isn't, like, no, it doesn't. Like, things don't have to cancel each other out. And I've really been just observing that. And I think that it's important to be able to talk about all sides of something, to be able to see that something isn't black and white. Like, if you only talk about the good, then it's like, oh, you're not in alignment unless everything is good. And if you only talk about the bad, it's like, well, then make sure that you don't do anything bad ever, or else you deserve that bad. But if you talk about both, then it's like, well, they don't have to cancel each other out. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. There really is space for both. And that's what makes life so diverse and full and expansive and juicy to like yeah. get the most out of that meal, right? Instead of just like, oh, I'm just going to eat the dessert. Like, mm-hmm. no, like you need to get the most out of that meal, like really squeeze that fruit, because that's why you're freaking here. That's why you're alive, is to squeeze that freaking fruit. And like, yeah, maybe some shit happens. It's like, this sucks. Like, I don't want to have to spend a week in bed, but also like, what enlightening shit did you learn that's going to last with you, stick with you so much longer than a week? Yeah. So it's really interesting. I'm like, been observing all the things.
Yeah, I know. A mantra for me in the last few years has been like, the goal is not good or perfect. The goal is evolution. And that's been a story I've been, you know, trying to tell myself, because I notice how many times you're like avoiding the bad things or only looking at the good things or spiritually bypassing, or, you know, you're just like not wanting to see two truths that are happening at the same time that might be contrasting or polarizing, because that's yeah. not plain and simple for our brains to digest. So we really try to like, you know, only be perfect and only do good things and only be right, or, you know, whatever our egos are really wanting. And it's like, that's not the goal in life. The goal is not to have only good emotions. The goal is not to have only highs on your emotional wave, if you have one. The goal is all of it, because all of it is what brings evolution, is what brings growth. And like, we deserve to give ourselves love and acceptance and curiosity to all of life's experience, the fullness of life. And that's a huge, keynote theme in human design is the fullness of life. Like, how can we embrace it all? How can we sit with it all? How can we love it all and be okay with things that have different sides and different facets and see it all coming together as that one, that unity?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all you, bitch.
So let's talk about what we came here to talk. Yeah. Well, we came here to just talk about how today. We are
25 yes. minutes later. Some people have 25 minute episodes and like not us. So we wanted to talk about
just a quick tip or ritual that you can apply to really nourish yourself, right? Based on your type and based on your authority. And the inspiration for talking about this is that we've just noticed so many people have so much going on, have been busy. We've been in this time that's been kind of challenging. And we've heard a lot of feedback from people of like, I just feel too busy to give myself time to do anything nourishing, period. And we really wanted to talk about that because, you know, while it's true that we have real things in our life that need our attention, we have real responsibilities, we have real bills to pay, we have real jobs to work or mouths to feed, while all of that is true, it is so crucial that we make time to give ourselves love, to do something that is nurturing and supportive for our specific uniqueness. Because we talk about this, you know, self-care or self-love, which are, of course, themes that are really coming up into the pop culture right now, which is beautiful. But oftentimes we hear these self-care themes that are very like universal, like anyone could do it. And maybe that's nourishing for you and truly supportive for you as an individual. Maybe it's not. So we really want to kind of lead this conversation by saying the more you understand yourself and your uniqueness, the funner it is and the more adventure you can have in finding rituals that really truly enliven you as an individual and that nourish you. And by giving yourself this time and deciding that there is time, right? Even if it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes, there is time, and you creating that time for yourself is a huge shift. So if anyone is listening and you're feeling super busy and super overworked and you're helping so many people and you feel like there's no time for you, this episode is for you. We want to first start off by saying that we love you and we see you and we feel you and we are you and we've all been in that space. And this is an invitation to really make it a priority to say, okay, the most important thing I can do for anyone is nourish and honor and love up myself. Because even if I do that for only 5 minutes, that is a huge energetic shift that is going to support me being my best self and me recalibrating to my center. And that's how you show up sustainably for the people around you. So kind of going through the five types, we wanted to just share like a quick ritual that maybe something that we haven't shared before that we just think can be a really fun and nourishing routine or ritual for you to play with. So for manifestors, you know, a big theme for manifestors is alone time. And, you know, a lot of manifestors have families or they live with their partner, things like that. And we actually have so many stories about togetherness and about community and about family and about what that means and kind of like the limits or constraints. And for a manifestor, it's not that you're someone who is like needs to be alone forever or is not meant to be around people who love you or doesn't want to be in a relationship. None of those things are true, right? Manifestors, just like anyone else, love having close connection. They love having community, but alone time is something that is really nourishing for you. So we have met manifestors who like to, you know, have this ritual of once a week having dinner by themselves. And whoever it is that they live with, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your partner, maybe it's your roommates, or maybe you already do live alone, but choosing a night of the week that you decide to do dinner completely on your own. You don't have to collaborate with anyone else about what you're going to eat or about when dinner's going to be. You get to do it in your own way, in your own space, in your own time, and see if that ritual feels good for you. And see if the more you can explain, you know, and inform the people in your life about why it's so nourishing for you to have alone time, the more people are to just support, the more likely people are to just support you. And this is actually a huge theme that the world needs to kind of readjust our stories around. So the more manifestors inform people about why it's nourishing for them to have alone time, and why that helps them love their connection and time to connect with other people even more, the more we're going to let go of these stories about what we should want and how we should eat our dinner or live our life, et cetera. So that's the invitation for manifestors, is see if it feels good for you to inform the people in your life if you want to have dinner one night a week alone.
Yeah. And of course, you know, if you have kids and you're feeling like that's impossible, there's no space for that to happen, saying that out loud to your family, to your partner, to your support system, if you have one, and saying, you know, one night a week, I want to have 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 10 minutes to myself in my room or outside or wherever to just eat by myself. And that doesn't mean that you don't then go and spend time with them right after if you have to. It's just seeing where is a small space. Like Dana said, it doesn't have to take a ton of time. Where is a small space that you can lean in to nourishing yourself in this way if it feels supportive for you? So then the next type that we want to talk about are generators. And what comes to mind for us is nourishing your body with something that is sensual. And that could be smelling an essential oil. That could be cooking and putting on some music and dancing. That could be, you know, hand feeding your partner. That could be just like feeling your body or breathing in your body, that anything that feels sensual in your physical body, let yourself do that for, and once again, if you have kids or if you're super busy or you don't feel like you have time, that can literally be something as simple as a breath, but with the intention of that sensual energy in your body, like move your body and just take a breath, that alone. Or as you're driving, putting on some music that really just turns you on and just letting yourself vibe out to it while you're running your errand. So there's always a way to work this in, and that can be something as a generator that just feels good.
Yeah. And this is crucial for generators, because for generators, your wisdom really lies in your body, right? And your senses are such an amazing gateway to really get into your body. So all of your senses, your sight, your smell, right? That's why we're saying cooking delicious food or listening to beautiful music, anything that really engages those senses in a way that is joyful and really moves you and kind of gets that creative juice flowing. That is so important to do, because so many generators, they're capable, they're taking care of other people, they're working really hard. And the priority is, how much can I get done? How productive can I be? So switching your focus to, how much can I enjoy myself right now? How connected to my sense of pleasure can I be in my body? That is healing medicine. That is so transformative. So any amount of time, like Shana was saying, will really help you. And the next type we want to talk about is manifesting generators. So for manifesting generators, you know, you really thrive when you're challenged in a new way, when you're learning something new and you have to figure it out. So we like to kind of invite manifesting generators to take a course or a class and learn something new that you've never done before. So this could be a craft, you know, that you're taking a course online, learning how to knit, learning how to do ceramics, something like that. It also could be a physical class, like going to aerial silk yoga or kickboxing, something that has a lot of steps in it and that is new and that you really have to be completely 100% engaged to be able to learn this thing. That playful, fresh energy is so nourishing for manifesting generators. And of course, there's going to be a lot of people who are listening right now and are thinking, okay, that sounds fun, but how can I take a class and then maybe earn money some way? So I'm going to take a class of like something that I can later, you know, do my Etsy shop or sell this thing. And we really want to make sure that you're taking a course to learn something challenging and new for the intention of play, and not because it's productive in any way. And can you really create that space to just prioritize that play, learn something new, get that fresh energy into your body? It will really change and shift everything in your being.
Yeah. Something that comes to mind is a cooking class, because it's like there and then it's gone, right? Unless you're taking that recipe home to like make it every week. It's not all based on your productivity, but you get to eat and it's very sensual and it's also very playful and you have to be present. But of course, it can be anything. The play is what you're tapping into. So then the next type we want to talk about are projectors. And something really nourishing for you is that we would recommend, super random, but is having a guilty pleasure, such as a TV show that you can binge. Really, the reason why we bring up a guilty pleasure is because a lot of times the restful things that we do in our society are also kind of productive, like reading a book is engaging your mind, or watching a documentary is engaging your mind. Having a conversation at dinner is still engaging your mind because as a projector, you're fascinated and you're observing things and you're looking deeper. So watching like a shitty rom-com or something and noticing when the guilt comes in of like, I should be doing something more productive, or like someone else probably needs me, or whatever, like this is me tapping out of my life, or whatever comes to mind for you, noticing it and then shelving it. Like, nope, I'm not going to let that frequency in. I'm just going to really truly rest and let my brain turn off for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So of course, you know, we could say taking a nap, but a lot of times, we don't actually do that. So guilty pleasure, turn off your mind. And you can do that with your kids. You can do that with your family around. It's that act of rest and letting your mind take a break.
Yeah. And I notice that even when I am napping and I'm like, okay, I'm intentionally going to rest as a projector, I'm still even thinking of a nap as something that's productive. Cause I'm like, I know that if I nap, my body will recharge a little bit, then I'll have more energy to keep working later into the night. And it's like, I'm already still thinking in this formulaic productivity based mindset. So that's why we chose this, like, in quotes, guilty pleasure, and do it, but remove the guilt, right? That is really the activity, is like, find something that's just like so juicy and you're like, I really shouldn't be doing this. And then have this reframe of like, hell yes, I should be doing this because this is something that recharges me and fills my cup. And the energetics is actually the challenge in this, right? Can you authentically remove the guilt and just enjoy having this spaciousness and restfulness?
Yes. And then the last one is reflectors. So reflectors, the first thing that comes to mind is go outside and put your feet in the earth, in the grass, in the dirt, or touch a tree and really actually physically touch the earth. And anything in your body that's feeling heavy or weighed down or exhausted or anything, honestly, that you're feeling, letting yourself just release that into the earth, like visualize it channeling through your body into that tree or into the earth and giving that to the earth to be transmuted. Our Mother Earth can genuinely handle so much of our energy because it is energy as well. And allowing yourself to release and allowing her to take it and transmute it is a beautiful, nourishing practice that you can do to just a ground, but come back to neutral, come back to that kind of clear vessel. So of course, there's other ways that you can clear out that we have recommended in the past, but this is something that we think can be really fun. Of course, if you're busy, if you have kids, if you have a lot going on right now in your life, this doesn't have to be something that you spend 30 minutes doing. This can be just as simple as just stepping outside for a moment, closing your eyes, taking a few deep breaths, and going back inside to do what you need to do. So there's always a way to kind of work these in. Like for projectors, you don't have to watch like 8 seasons of some show. You can even watch, you know, 5 minutes on your break, or, you know, just having the intention behind all of these, the awareness behind all of these of I am nourishing myself with this energy. That's really the goal with these.
Yeah. So, and then the next tips that we want to give is for your authority. So if you have emotional authority, what a tip that I really like to recommend is actually using music to help you embrace and express the emotions that you're feeling on your wave. So this is something that I love doing when I'm in a low on my wave and I'm feeling really bluesy, maybe for no reason, and I'm feeling like I really want to just embrace that and fully claim it so that I can move through it and continue writing it out, I'll put on a song that kind of matches that frequency or that really like makes me cry. Or if I'm feeling kind of like a more like angry sort of feeling, I'll put on a song that makes me like cry and scream angry style. And just picking a song and expressing that and allowing yourself to dance to it and move to it and like fully 100% everything in your body kind of express that emotion and allow yourself to fully be that emotion with that song. It feels so good. And then you'll realize that like after that song is over, you kind of feel yourself having sort of moved through that emotion instead of trying to like bottle it down and, you know, stifle it. So I really think that like expression, the music helps us so much, right? And with the highs on their way, on your wave, same thing, right? I've been in days where there's kind of some stuff going on with my friends or the people in my life, and like everyone around me is maybe not in a good mood for those reasons, but I'm on a high on my wave. So I'll like go into my car and pick a song that really kind of captures that feeling that I'm feeling. And I'll allow myself to just like do a happy dance or do a gratitude dance or sing that song. And I think that this is just such a beautiful ritual to help you really kind of claim the things that you're feeling and celebrate them.
Yes. And once again, this doesn't have to be crazy time consuming. It's honoring you're feeling. It's honoring your authority, right? With the sacral authority, any kind of womb work or sacred sexuality, really tapping into like what your sacral center is feeling. So whether you're male or female, it doesn't matter. Tapping into that sense of sex, creativity, connection, creation. And that could be like listening to a podcast on or having a conversation about it or journaling about it or just feeling that center of your body and breathing in like life and devotion and connection to that area.
Yeah. And I think that this is a really important conversation for sacral beings to have, whether you have sacral authority or emotional authority. But for anyone that has this defined sacral, you know, a lot of people we meet are very disconnected to their sacral responses. They're very disconnected to their sacral creativity. And when we talk about sexuality, right, it's all coming from the sacral center. Creative life force energy is sexual energy. So the more that we're tapping into our sexual energy, like in physical sex or moving our body or, you know, anything like that, it's actually opening up that connection and that channel to your creativity, to your abundance, to your sense of joy. So for anyone listening, even just as you're hearing us talking right now, check in with your body. Like, how does just this conversation feel of healing your womb or connecting with your sense of sexuality can help you open up your sense of joy, your sense of abundance, your sense of pleasure, your sense of creativity? Check in with your physical body. Like, how is this feeling? Does that feel true to you? Do you feel like you're already open in that space? Or do you feel closed down in some way or, you know, shy in some way, or like you're blocking yourself off in some way? And practicing with that, with your sexual energy being an opening energy and a connecting energy to all of those beautiful things that come from your sacral.
And I do want to add on that, you know, that sense of being turned on by something, it can be really good to just tap into. Like, am I turned on by this broccoli? Like, yes or no? Like, am I turned on by this song or by this email or this work that I'm doing or this person? Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, okay, well then we're going to go have sex. Like, it can just be like, no, I'm just into it. Like, I want to devour this. I'm turned on by it. And, you know, just because, you know, maybe you are someone who has a lot of sex doesn't mean that you're connected with your sacral energy as a generator or manifesting generator. So tapping into, even when you are having sex, your sacral energy, like that creative connection, sensual, creative force kind of energy that's radiating out of you, like really tapping into that kind of like primal turned on energy when you are actually having sex too, can be something that, you know, it's not like it's pulling you away from anything that you're having to do. Because a lot of times with nourishing ourselves, like we said, we come up with a million excuses of why we're not. And it's like, especially as a sacral being, this is especially nourishing while you're doing other things. Like I'm washing these dishes. Like, am I turned on? Like, let me add some more soap. Like, let me get in those bubbles. Like, really, like, let yourself do that. Go there with whatever it is you're already doing.
No, honestly, Jared's been saying so much lately. Like, he's like, that is a sexy cocktail. Like in the glass with the garnish, like it's gorgeous and beautiful and juicy and moving. And like, how can you infuse that energy into the food that you're making? You know, exactly, the dishes, like turning on the music and like feeling it and really being present and adding in those things that beautify the experience, that enhance that kind of like sacral, juicy energy. I'm into it. I love it.
Me too. I'm about to go wash my dishes. Okay. So then for splenic, and I don't even have a sacral. I'm just channeling all my high vibe sacral beings. I'm obsessed with sacral energy. Anyways, as we all should, because it's the majority of the planet and they're the ones who are making this big change in the world. Mm-hmm. We're all just riding on their wave. So like if every sacral being was just turned on with every little thing that they're doing, like, holy shit, we're going to blast off. So yeah, I'm ready.
That's so true.
So splenic, we came up with a really funny one.
Yeah. So with your splenic authority, you're constantly getting these subtle intuitive hits. So a good place to really be able to utilize this is actually in your technology on your social media. So the invitation for this ritual for splenic beings is to really allow yourself to be spontaneous and intentional when you are on your social media platform. So if you feel this urge to just comment on, you know, maybe this person is a celebrity and you've never talked to them before, but you just feel this message pop into your head, we invite you to just go for it and comment. Or if you feel like, I just want to like this thing and I don't know why, allow yourself to like it without questioning it or doubting it or being like, should I? Will this person think it's weird? Just trust that intuition that you feel, because sometimes when you have that splenic intuition or that splenic call to action, it's exactly what the other person needed, or it's so in tune or so connected. So you're really robbing the world of these sacred things that are wanting to channel through you when you doubt it or second guess yourself or say like, oh, no, never mind, I don't want to be weird and like overly comment on things. Like if you see someone's post and you think, wow, that's so beautiful and I love this specific thing about it, we invite you to just trust that first intuition that you feel and allow yourself to follow through. And on the other side of that, if you're feeling like your splenic intuition is like, this doesn't feel healthy for me to be on this person's page, or it doesn't feel healthy for me to be, you know, looking at the content that I'm looking at, I feel like it's not supportive for me. Also really be in tune with that and listen to yourself. So if you're a splenic person and you're feeling like, I don't want to be on my social media at all, what I really want is to go put my feet in the ground and be outside, listen to that. I feel like this social media is such a great place for us to really get intentional, because it is so addictive and it is such a big part of a lot of our lives and our career lives, that it's like this slippery slope where we just kind of like passively don't listen to ourselves, don't trust ourselves, do what we think we should do, or mindlessly do things. So as a splenic individual, this is a great place to really harness and practice following what you really feel, trusting that intuition and being spontaneous and following through with it.
Yeah. In small places, right? Small places make a big impact. So instead of just, you know, mindlessly sending it or saving it, like letting yourself like it, if it feels like that's something that you want to do, or not like it, if that feels right for you. So instead of having social media be a distraction, using it as a tool to harness your intuition and to use your splenic hits versus just kind of mindlessly scrolling. Like, tap in with your intuition while you're doing that. And then next we want to talk about our ego projected and ego manifested honeys, is what I was going to say, out there. And what we want to invite you to do is to imagine or pretend like money is no option. Like if money was no option, or somebody gave you $1 billion today, what would you actually want to wear and do to feel your best? So get really clear on what you want and what you deserve if money was no object, and release any feelings that you have of guilt or that it's frivolous or that everyone should want that or must be nice or anything that pops up when you do this practice. And this can be so nourishing for your authority because it's just allowing clarity to come in. And it doesn't mean that now that's going to manifest tomorrow, although it could. It is really just allowing the energetic mess or chaos or bullshit that's surrounding the things that you actually deserve to fade away and get straight to like, no, I want this and I want this type of home and I want this type of relationships or I deserve these types of interactions or things, and letting yourself kind of answer that question. If money was no object, what would I want? What would I deserve? What would I have in my life?
And I think that this is a really helpful thing for anyone who has ego projected or ego manifested authority, because every single person we've ever met that has one of these authorities is the most overly giving, overly kind, overly considerate about other people's needs, like literally take the shirt off your back kind of energy. And the highest truth for them is always about, does this serve me? Does this give me what I want or what I need or what I deserve on a financial plane, as far as influence or reach? So there's this huge push and pull for people who have this of, you know, it feels selfish for them to talk about what they want or what they need or what they desire on the material plane. But that's actually the thing that brings them into balance and that helps them really utilize their energy instead of overgiving in a way that doesn't serve them. And people who have these authorities will always be kind and giving. People who are wanting to inspire and lead others, you don't have to worry about that, right? It's so much more about taking your power back, owning what you really want and what you find beautiful and what you desire and not feeling bad about it. So I invite you to kind of like window shop, if you will, but online version, like what beautiful dress would you buy? What beautiful home would you buy? What car do you actually want? And just allow yourself to suspend any judgment or thinking about anyone else and just get clear about what you think is beautiful, what you desire, and see if you can really just have fun and appreciate that and own that this thing is beautiful and know that you deserve that thing. That's really the exercise.
Yeah. And as an ego manifested, I would even pile onto that, say it out loud. So once again, if you're super busy and you feel like there's no time for this, while you're cooking dinner for your kids, like say it out loud, and say like, if money was no object, I would want, and just let it flow. Don't edit yourself. And there's a way to, while you're driving, have this discussion with yourself. That can be a really good way to work it into your current life and current schedule. So the next is G Center Authority, which is what I am. And what we would recommend, and this is so weird, but I literally did it this morning, is go sit outside and talk to the earth. Talk to the earth, talk to mama, literally just let yourself riff and hear what comes out. And you will be surprised. Like the earth is listening. The earth is you. You are the earth. And the earth is what provides. It's what provides abundance. It's what provides opportunities and connections and resources. So just go and talk to the earth and hear what you say and what comes through you. You might really surprise yourself. And it's so, so nourishing to just relieve any pressure that you have built up in your G center to come out and be transmuted and received and grown back from the earth.
I love this one actually, because I feel like our Mother Earth is such a supportive force in our life. And the more we connect with the support that she gives us, the more we're thinking about how we can give that support back. So we're opening that channel by allowing ourselves to really rely on her presence there, right? So with this exercise of talking to the earth and like knowing that this is a being that you're talking to, that the earth is an alive being that sustains you and that gives you life and that energizes you, right? I just feel like that for G-Center people, I feel like they can feel like when they're talking that they're a burden because no one wants to listen or there's not enough space for them or time for them. And our Mother Earth is this like abundant, open, like limitless support and care for you. So connecting with that and talking to her and just feeling that like nourishing, like you're always received here. There's always space for you. Like you belong here. You're a part of this nature and like your voice is as well. I think that that's just so beautiful and so nourishing. Yeah. And then for the last authority, which,
two more.
So for mental/environmental authority, I'm going to go ahead and talk about feng shui again, because we can't not.
We can't stop.
So for people who have mental/environmental authority, mental projectors will have this authority, and your environment is so crucial for you, right? So that's true for everyone. It's especially true for anyone who has an undefined G center. And it's especially true for mental projectors and also reflectors. So people with this mental/environmental authority, getting really dialed in on the spaces that you're spending the most time in. Maybe that's your office, maybe that's your bedroom. What is a space that you're spending the most time in? What is the area of life that you're wanting to give yourself the most nourishment or the most support in? Let's say it is your career life. Give your office some love. Or let's say it is your love life or your relationship. Give your bedroom some love. Let's say you're really wanting to nourish your physical health. Give your kitchen some love, right? So you can choose the room that you're wanting to kind of love up based on the area of life that you're wanting to give yourself that nourishment and support in. And even just changing one thing in that room, even if it's just dusting a table or clearing off a table and clearing some clutter and throwing away papers, or, you know, maybe it's getting a new plant for that room or new flowers for that room. Even just doing one act in that environment is a reflection of self-love, self-care, and nourishment that you will really feel nourished by. You'll feel the difference. So nothing is too small. Even just going in and dusting and cleaning off a table, that you will feel that as an act of self-love. And then for the last authority, which is lunar authority, of course, only reflectors will have this. We want to invite you to use the ritual of doing moon water. So in order to do moon water, you just take a glass of water, like a glass jar is best, because then you can put a lid on it and you let it sit outside in the moonlight at night. So you can do this just on the new moon or just on the full moon, and to intentionally put that water out there covered up and let it just sit in the moonlight. And then in the morning, drink that water and know that you're taking in the moon's energy in a very intentional way. So I think it would be really, really cool for lunar beings to experiment with doing this every night of an entire lunar cycle, and every night putting that water out there and allowing it to absorb the moon's energy and then receiving that. I think that would be such a nourishing and beautiful way to really get connected to the energy of the moon and the way it's impacting your body. If anyone does that, I'd love to hear what happens for you. But I think even just doing it one night, intentionally really honoring that connection with the moon, could just be so nourishing for any lunar beings.
Yeah, I would encourage you to play with it. And it's all about the intention behind it. Like, I'm doing this as something to nourish myself. And it can take a second to fill up some water, stick it outside in a bottle, and the next morning, go grab it and drink it. So, and then as you're drinking it throughout your day, it's all about that intention. So there's so many ways that we can nourish ourselves. And it really is, you know, what resonates for you, what feels supportive for you right now, and experiment with it, play with it. Honestly, when you're experimenting with anything, you're nourishing yourself because you're giving yourself permission to say, I'm worthy of this time or of this experiment or of focusing on myself, even if it's for literal thought that pops in your head while you're helping your kids or while you're at work, a thought of, oh, I deserve this, or a thought of, ooh, that would be nice. Letting yourself just notice it, having that awareness, turning on that observer, kind of like we've talked about. So I know we've talked about a lot of different things in this episode, and we love you. We love every single one of you. We love ourselves, AKA you. And we're just so grateful that you're here. So of course you can find everything that we have to offer on our website, daylunalife.com, or on Instagram at dayluna. And stay tuned for the exciting news that we're dropping in the next few weeks here. It's going to be something that is an amazing resource that you're going to be able to use for years and years. So we're just so thrilled. And of course, we want to invite you, if you vibe with our vibe, I was going to say jive with our vibe, but that's not the right thing. If you're vibing with us, we'd love to hear from you, leaving a review or even just some stars, whatever you feel. We would love it if you could review our podcast. We read every single review that is written and we literally do a happy dance. So everybody who's left a review so far, we freaking love you. You're our family, and we are just so grateful that we are on this journey all together. So enjoy your day, enjoy whatever way you choose to nourish yourself, and we are sending you so, so, so much love through the ethers.